This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead and Mike Bell. There is a lot going on today. We've got regional action right here in our backyard in our own city at State Farm Arena. And, of course, today is opening day for the Braves. We're going to talk a lot about it, guys, here over the next 2 hours before opening pitch. John Smoltz, supposed to join us yesterday late in the show, is going to join us today. In literally 15 minutes from now, we'll talk to the Hall of Famer. Also, you'll hear what Chipper Jones had to say about our Braves. And AA stopped by John Freaking Show last night, Mike, to talk with him about our team. So we're going to hear from all of those guys here over the next couple of hours.
Very cool, man. And AA, we always know, watching, listening, judging. We always appreciate when guys are checking out the number one sports station in town. And Freaky was getting a lot of bouquets from Alex, but he asked some good questions about something you and I were talking about yesterday. You know, a little bit of cryptic about when are we going to see Ronald Acuna? When's he going to get up here, man? So, yeah, it's funny. I was stuck in traffic today. Connector was being the connector. And there's a guy in Ole Miss, and I had the top down, and I was blasting the Ramones. And this guy goes, my kid wants to know what you're playing in his SUV. And sure enough, he's got the Ole Miss light, you know, a license plate, and he had like some Ole Miss magnets on the car. I'm like, where are you staying? He goes, we couldn't get a room in Buckhead. We're staying in Alpharetta. I'm like, good Lord.
I believe it.
I said, take Marta. It's smarter. I mean, get down to North Springs there, G.
That's right. That's
but
right.
Anyway, but yeah, we know that tomorrow we'll see, obviously, Michigan State, and Auburn, and of course, Ole Miss in action. But it really is cool to have. It's funny. It's like the city is so big. It's almost an event that doesn't get lost, but it's just another thing going on. It's so cool in this town.
No, it is, Mike. And look, we're going to talk about the hoops because we know we got a lot of hoops fans throughout the latter part of the show that are either coming into town, to Mike's point, or already here. But it's good business for our city, man. I mean, at the end of the day, you just mentioned it. The hotels are sold out, right? Mm. People are coming in. They're trying to figure things out. It's good for the restaurants and all the stuff that is surrounding the event. But the Braves lineup is out. And I want to start there, Mike, as we talk about this matchup today. Chris Sale, obviously Cy Young Award winner last year, guys. 18-3. He had an amazing season last year for the Braves, and I think he could duplicate it. I'm not telling he's going to win 18 or 20 games, but I do think he'll eat a lot of innings, Mike. 177 last year, and he had also 225 strikeouts. But Profar is leading off, and we've been talking about this a little bit. Where do you use him? What's going to happen? But look at look at this. And this is without Acuna, and this is why I feel really confident. Profar leading off, Riley Olson Ozuna. Dudes are going to drive in 100 runs, right? Potentially all three of those guys. Add Acuna to this, and then, by the way, you've got Albies today, and this is the lineup, Profar, Riley, Olson, Ozuna. Albies, Harris, Baldwin, that's the catcher, Drake Baldwin.
Right.
Arcia, I know, Mike. Kelnick, and then obviously, you know, Chris is on the mound today. But my point is, you add Acuna into this mix, Mike, and all of a sudden this lineup, man, is as potent as anybody in the league.
Right. That's the thing. Our 7-8-9 is going to be a bit funky until we hope and we believe in Drake Baldwin. He had a great spring down in Northport, and hopefully he'll continue. It's funny, today when I was doing yard work, it never ends, one of my neighbors who's a big, big, big Braves fan, and we were talking about the line, and he was trimming his hedges. He's got the gas power thing, takes the headphones off because he was shouting across the street, and I'm just like anyway, clearing brush, you know, guy stuff, and he comes over and goes, so what do you think about the lineup? And he literally goes through 1-8 with me
talking about
and
it.
I'm like, you know, I got to get to work at 2 o'clock, man. But he goes I hear you on that, Murph. He goes, and this is my buddy Dale. He goes, I'm not feeling that at all. I'd love to see this kid get the job and keep it. I think he speaks for a lot of Braves fans. Nothing against Murph, but you've had your chance, and last year you blew it.
Yes.
2 years ago, everybody was raking. It's easy to rake when the whole team's batting 300. But, I mean, everybody's pulling for Drake Baldwin to be the Contreras we should have kept, I think, is the vibe.
And, Mike, here's the thing. The kid's so young. If he falls into this role, as I think he will, because I think he's going to hit, then you're looking at your guy for the next decade, right? You are looking at Brian McCann, or,
right,
you know, we can talk about Lopez, all of these guys that have come through the Braves organization. So, look, my fingers are crossed with that. Today, though, is not going to be easy. Michael King's pretty good. And for those Braves fans who forget last year, do you know what he did to us last year? He struck out 12 in the wild card game. And this was one of the guys, by the way, that came over in the Soto trade.
Yes.
They got a lot back for the trade for Soto. He was one of the pieces. But this guy, man, was money. And, you know, he had over 200 strikeouts last year as well. So, Mike, this might be a pitcher's duel to start the season today.
Right. Because it usually is advantage to the pitching staff to start the season. But, you know, this guy, 6'3 right-hander who really brings it. And you talked about it last year. Look, I think we were just happy to be there. No excuses. I don't think most Braves fans had illusions about where it was going to go out in San Diego. But, yeah, this is a loaded squad. Unfortunately, they ran into the Dodgers. And the Dodgers, you know, they had a great series. They were pretty even with the Dodgers all season. And the Dodgers went through them like poop through a goose. In the next round, in the NLDS.
So we will see what transpires today. We're going to talk, as we said, with the Hall of Famer John Smoltz. We'll get his thoughts on the pitching staff. Your number one concern as the season starts, all right? And, Turtle, let's put up a poll at Dukes and Bell 929. Look, I like our club. I think we're going to win a lot of games. I think we're going to win 90-plus. I think we're going to be in the playoffs, okay? And that's without us, anybody knowing what the injury situation or what the pitching, you know, is going to change or not. But what's your number one concern for our team? Listen, I had a guy tell me yesterday, Mike, after I brought up the Acuna thing, when you asked me when's he coming back, and he said, I don't know if you know something we don't know. And I said, no, I'm telling you exactly what I've been told. But he said, that's my number one concern. Is Acuna comes back, maybe he's not quite what we expect him to be. And, Mike, maybe it takes longer for him to get back in sync.
Right.
And all of a sudden now, are we talking about July before we see the real Ronald Acuna? I don't know. It's a concern. You're concerned about the pitching. Turtle's concerned about the bullpen. What's your number one concern as the season gets underway today in San Diego?
I would say it's a push between 7-8-9, which I just talked about. But, yeah, that 4-5. So it's numbers, 4-5, 7-8-9.
And if can I play that in the lotto?
I was going to say, now, if you're playing craps, you don't want the 7. You can play the 4-5 and the 8-9 and have a really good day. Maybe make that fire bet. But, yeah.
By the way, I didn't tell you. I had a Mike Bell run on the craps table.
How'd you do?
I'm just telling you.
So you stayed in it.
Because
you know me. My friend here, my boy, I can't tell you how many times we've been in Vegas, and you are.
I will bail.
Sometimes Carl is of little faith.
I will bail.
Premature ejection.
Because
so you stayed with it.
I did. And I wasn't even rolling it. My buddy was rolling. J-Rock was rolling, and he was hot, man. But we were you know how you get on those heaters, and you were rolling. I didn't mention that to you because I will tell you guys, Mike Bell is the luckiest guy I have ever seen on the craps table, all right? And literally, I'm not making this up because, you know, the IRS can't come after you now.
No, it's going to be less than $10,000.
Yes, this goes back many years, but literally I've seen him turn $500 into thousands of dollars. And then we go have a good time. And I was like, Mike, are you serious right now? He's like, what? I'm looking at your chips. You got 100 stacked, but I got on a heater out there.
The
man.
Famous one, Chris, was in Mandalay Bay. This is years ago. It was one of the last fights we went to before HBO kind of pulled the plug. And you and me and Maximum Bob and the guys were there.
Oh,
and you came in. and I came in for like 500. You came in for 250.
That's right.
And I was like, you got to ride it. I got to ride it out because your chips are like an accordion. You came back, and I had two racks stacked.
I literally go, I'm going to play blackjack.
So,
and I come back. I swear it was maybe less than 25 minutes.
Right.
And you're stacked up.
And by the way, for our younger listeners out there, it's funny. Commissioner Gordon is producing an engineering today with us with Chris. And we were just talking about things that younger people don't know. Gordon, real quick, you got to tell Carl this. I was going to save this for Guy Talk, but this is something you got to share.
What's that?
We've talked about, you know, the generational gap, and it's not like just different times, but they're now literally teaching young people how to speak on the telephone.
On the telephone.
I'm sorry?
They're teaching this generation how to talk on the telephone because while these kids have grown up with phones in their hand, they don't actually speak on them. So they've been abbreviating all these acronyms and words and everything.
That's true.
They don't know how to actually carry on a conversation.
They can text the hell out of you, but they can't talk to you.
Right. But if you say something like, well, that's not acceptable.
Then they get in their field. Why are you so aggressive to me, Mike?
You're bullying me in this phone conversation. So the reason I bring that up, in lieu of great, you know, because Gordon, we were just talking about all the things that drive
us
crazy.
That's nutty.
But G-Money brought that up. If you're a young guy in your 20s, craps, I know it's overwhelming. If no one, my grandmother and my grandfather, I come from a long line of degenerate gamblers, taught me. But craps, if you can get the stick man to work with you, especially if it's a slow night, and just say, hey, man, it's my first time, he'll tell you how to place the bets. He'll show you what the odds are. And then if you do that two or three times, you'll figure it out. Because, Carl, you can vouch, there is nothing like a hot craps table. When
Zero.
A craps table is cooking, there's nothing like it.
No, and I'll tell you, it's the kind of table where you're walking through any casino, and you hear, hell yeah, and people are making all kind of noise, right. And you're like, what is going on over there, right?
Right.
And that's because everybody's winning, the table's going crazy, and you just want to get involved. That's that table, Mike, where it's like three deep, and you're just trying to see what's going
on. And Chris, it's the most superstitious game. You know, you got to be careful. Keep your hands up. Don't get your hands laid down there, man. But the funny thing is, when a table gets hot, it almost takes 3 to 4 minutes to load up the next point.
It does.
Because some slam nut, it just came in, the hard way is working, give me this. Oh, and you got the dice, and you're afraid it's going to crap out on you.
Yeah.
But anyway, for you youngsters out there, take it from Uncle Mike and Uncle Carl. And this is why I want brick and mortar in Atlanta if we ever get gambling. Craps is the most communal, fun. It's like when a Falcon game, when you're hugging your neighbors, when it's working.
It is.
Now, if it doesn't, it's the worst game in the world.
Yeah, because you can bow out pretty quickly, which I've seen happen to myself quite a bit. But also, you know, as we're talking about this, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We were just talking about the Braves, and we're going to talk plenty about it with John Smoltz coming up. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. But I was just thinking, too, you know, blackjack's the same way, though, in the sense that some jackleg sits down and he's jacking up the table, and all of a sudden, he's losing everybody money.
All right, real quick, Chris, you had to play blackjack?
Oh.
Do you know what third base is? Yes. Oh, so basically, pretend you're the dealer.
Don't screw it up.
If you're playing third base, if you're the final position, you basically decide the hand. If you do stupid stuff, you got to play consistent.
You do.
So if you're not going to basically hit on a soft 17,
don't hit.
If you're going to split tens, get the out of there. And just, you got to have somebody who knows what they're doing.
Oh, Mike, that's the worst. So, to your point, if the table's winning in blackjack, it feels great. Everybody's doing their job. If not, everybody wants to leave and point the finger at that guy and cuss it out.
Johnny went split sevens. I'll never forget this. And Larry had like a killer hand. And Larry had doubled down.
Oh.
And he had two eights. He split them. And then it hit the double down again. So Larry basically had like 500 on the table, and Johnny hit on some ridiculous combination, did something like stupid, and Johnny does it, and the dealer goes, oh. And Johnny goes, did I just blank Larry? And the pit boss leans in, oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did.
All right, poll questions up at Dukes and Bell 929. Just your number one concern heading into the start of the season. Guys, we're going to be good. Trust us. I'm not telling you we're going to sweep the Padres to start the season, but we're going to be good. Coming up, we're going to ask John Smoltz these questions. We'll ask him about Iglesias, our closer, because he knows what that's like. And we'll also get his thoughts on, hey, are you concerned about this starting pitching? John Smoltz, Hall of Famer, joins us next on Dukes and Bell. The regional round of the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16 action. We'll talk plenty more about that, but right now let's talk to the Hall of Famer, John Smoltz. He is the national analyst for Fox and, of course, one of the all-time great Braves. It's good to have you back on, John. As always, Smoltzy, we love talking with you, man. You know, a lot of conversation about what the Dodgers and the Mets have done. And I tweeted it out today and said, look, I am not concerned with that. I think the Braves have a really good club. And I'm curious to know where you're at when you look at the Braves. We know Strider's coming back. We know Acuna at some point is going to be back. But I love our lineup, and I think the fact that we didn't spend $700 million doesn't discount that this team won't be a contender.
Yeah, I agree. The other teams have made themselves better, and they were playoff teams. Miracle Mets, yes, last year, and how they came back from the dead on paper would make them feel like they're much better and much more primed for a long run. But a lot of money in one area of a ball club that still has some weaknesses in their starting rotation with the health of it. And this is the way I think when I look at a season and I see how it unfolds. What is the identity of your club and can you get back to it? And the identity of the Atlanta Braves has been, in the last few years, their offense, the dynamic offense. It starts with Acuna. So it's like getting another free agent back. If he can be healthy and just be 75% of what he's capable of doing, the Braves lineup, which had its issues last year because of so many injuries, was not the same team. The pitching staff is going to be good enough. The starting staff is really, really good. And again, like everything else, it's a broken record. If they stay healthy, there's no doubt that the Braves are going to be in the mix, are going to compete in what is going to be probably the most competitive division in all of baseball. It's top heavy, and it comes down to taking advantage of those teams in your schedule and winning those games and just hoping to go 500 against the Mets and the Phillies.
John, you had Tommy John, had 9 great years after that. Strider, it wasn't a full Tommy John because it was more lower arm, but how do you get back in the mix? Strider, by the way, looked amazing in his starts in spring training.
Yeah, I think that the downside for Spencer is the fact that there's so much expected of him. Of course, he throws 100 miles an hour, which I think can be a downfall because to me, it's a false sense of security when analytics tells you you can throw the ball right down the middle and you have an unhittable fastball, which he does. This is what I think, though. What happens when you don't have that electric life? And what we've seen in the past is he's been a little bit more susceptible to the home run ball and shorter outings. I wish, you know, for his sake, that he didn't feel like he had to throw 100 every time and could pitch to quadrants and really utilize what is the special stuff. I tell people all the time, and we had 36 starts every year, and I'll bet you 18 to 20 of them, we might have had our electric stuff. I might have had my late life fastball. In the other 16 or so, you got to figure out how to get by, and you got to figure out how to navigate when you don't have your best stuff. Today, it's a little bit different. They want the best stuff all the time. So to answer that fairly, it's gonna take a month or two. Because he's going to look unhittable, which he is when he's on. It's just a gift. But then there's going to be moments post-Tommy John or even post this surgery that you're not connected with your mechanics and your fastball and your stuff. We always say that hitters can time a train if you give them enough chances to hit a fastball moving like a train. But I think the biggest thing is a well-placed pitch is always the best next option. And we'll just see how that affects his command. But we all know he's already proven what he can do when he's healthy.
Hall of Famer John Smoltz here on Dukes and Bell, opening day for our Braves as we talk about a variety of things. We'll go around baseball here in a sec. Smoltz, you know, Austin Riley was talking about getting his stick back and getting his rhythm back. Obviously, he lost a guy that was close to him in a tragic accident, and he's discussed that. And I'm curious to know, you know, that's a guy that we're counting on, and Olsen as well, to produce those runs like they did just a few years ago. We know everybody was dealing with injuries last year, but give me your thoughts on Riley and him bouncing back.
Well, what I love about Austin Riley's resume is he's been there, done that. He's gone through the peak in his brief entrance to the big leagues, set the world on fire, and then he went through a really tough spot. And when a guy gets out of a tough spot early in his career, he knows how to get out of it. It's not foreign to him. We have the youngest, most dynamic athletes in the game ever, but they're not given the priority of struggling. They're not really taught how to play through ups and downs. And when you have a young man that goes through it like he did, it impressed the heck out of me. That's why I knew that contract was worth its salt and gold. When you only sign a guy to his first great year, you have no clue what's going to happen when he struggles. I don't care what any numbers or analytics tell you. They have no clue. They are literally flipping a coin. But because Riley did what he did and they had that track record, there is not a moment that he goes through that I would be worried if I was part of the brass of the Atlanta Braves that he's not going to get out of it. And I think he's got the work ethic and the desire to be great, and that's what all you can ask for in a player that's been given a long contract.
John, you've had a lot of great catchers because you got to have a good, obviously, receiver if you're going to do the jobs you do. When Javi was coming up, because we've got Drake Baldwin now getting to the show, how do you help a rookie catcher, and how will he do this year dealing with the pitchers?
Well, it's a little bit different now because they're given so much information and so much at the helm of what their information can be overload. I can't imagine what a young catcher has responsibilities for today versus where really it was primarily of a pitcher's game, where we called our own game. We never really had catchers call a game for us. And now, which is even more amazing, that Chris Sale, it's still hard to believe that he's never shook a pitch off in his entire career, is what I've heard. And that, to me, puts a little bit more pressure on a young man that is going to try to take it all in, navigate a game plan. You know, the pitcher-catcher situation is so important, and there's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I only had one situation ever. I think I threw to 31 or 32 different catchers, some crazy number. Only had one situation that didn't work. And then I got a chance to break in Brian McCann, and it was one of the greatest things I've ever been part of, because not only did we take a picture with him when he was 9 years old, he then became his debut was with me. So wow. Those are fun moments for pitchers. But pitchers aren't in that place anymore where they don't really call their own game. And so that information is being fed to them.
John, what do you think about this Skeens kid? We talk about 300 strikeouts all the time. And look, it's difficult, right? I mean, we don't see pitchers do it all the time. But when they do, it's one of those things where you go, wow, okay. I think the guy could get there. I think Strider, if he had all of his starts this year, could probably do it as well. But Skeens is getting a lot of attention, and I think he's the front runner for the Cy Young so far this year as the season gets underway today.
Well, I mean, listen, the game's different in the philosophy of hitting, so strikeouts are not going to be they're easier to attain. That doesn't take anything away from the dynamic pitching that's out there. But if you're on your game as a pitcher, you're going to strike out a lot of guys because the swing plane is pretty much the same all the way throughout the lineup. And so it's hard to adjust from hitters when you're facing 99, 98 miles an hour in a slider or changeup or whatever the secondary pitches they have. And on the vice versa is if you're not on your game, you're going to give up a lot of home runs for pitching. So, yes, 300 strikeouts is probably more available today than ever before. And it's a combination of the stuff that the guys have, but the style of hitting too. So when you can do that in less than 200 innings or 210 innings, that's insane. I mean, that just doesn't compute. And you know, not to take anything away from the guys, but there isn't really no two-strike approach. And that's why the all-time average, you know, the average for baseball players has gone way down because analytically they want them to swing for the fences. That's the quickest way to put a run on the board.
That launch angle. I love when John talks. John, when you ever come on the show, I always feel like, yeah, what he said. It's John Smoltz with us, guys. Hall of Famer with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You had John Schuerholz as the general manager. Pitching was always the cornerstone, the great farm system, and then augmented with guys like Fred McGriff to Gary Sheffield over the years. It just seems like Alex Anthopoulos will not spend the big money on frontline pitching. And we're going to bat once again with a few question marks. Is that just an acceptable risk because you're taking care of the 1-8?
Yeah, I think the one thing that baseball has not addressed, and I think we're getting closer to it, they just won't address the injury problem. They know there's an injury problem. That's why certain teams aren't going to invest in long-term pitching because they feel like that's a wasted commodity and they can find enough arms to piecemeal it together. And there's two ways to go about it right now. And some teams are building with their young, dynamic offense that has a longer sustainability to them and they can feel like they can outscore and maybe mix and match. I'll tell you what's not possible. What the Braves did 2 years ago is not a recipe of success when they used like 35 pitchers and 17 different starters. Their offense took over for that, right? And then last year you saw where that didn't come into play. So I still believe you got to win with pitching, no doubt. And everyone's looking for it because they devalued the starting pitching in the general and they tried to build everything from the back end up. And then they're realizing, well, perfect example. The Los Angeles Dodgers, you know why they loaded up on 25 different starting pitching? Because every one of them get hurt, and their bullpen is so taxed last year that they basically have the resources to do it. I guess good for them. But their arms in the pen, they had to go get different guys because when you go that long and you win a World Series with only 2.5 starting pitchers, something's going to suffer. So I think the prudent game that we have right now, which it is what it is, it's more of a roll of a dice to spend 7 years on a starting pitcher and hope that you get 3.5 to 4 years. Like, that's not a good bargain. So I hope the Braves find a way to keep those guys healthy. And I'll tell you another thing. We're more going towards a 6- and 7-man rotation than we are to realize that that would be a horrible idea, because now guys like Spencer Strider, give him extra rest. Do you think he's going to back it down, or do you think he's going to throttle it up with extra rest?
Right,
he will
right.
throttle it up. It's actually a reverse output of what you think would be a safer scenario by giving guys more rest.
Hey, Fox National analyst John Smoltz joining us. This is something Mike and I argue about. I want to get your thoughts on it. Where are you at on the salary cap? This offseason we saw, obviously, the Mets spent a lot. The Dodgers. I just had a guy say, the Dodgers always spent. Not like they did this offseason.
Top 10 counts for half of all the payroll in baseball.
What do you think about a salary cap in baseball? And is it even feasible to think about this happening in the game?
Well, here's what I would say. And for years we were in this boat, and we realized that the game of baseball has a special thing going right now where there's no real dominance in the sense of repeat champions. It's been forever. It's been the Yankees are the last repeat champion. Now all things point towards the Dodgers, and until the Dodgers break that mold, that what we've seen is the most money doesn't guarantee a championship. It may guarantee you the playoffs, but I think the one thing in our sport that frustrates most fans and frustrates most players, if you're going to go down that road, the biggest problem in our game right now is the teams that don't care and don't spend still don't care and still don't spend.
Right.
So if you don't have a floor, I don't know what a ceiling is going to be able to do. And it, to me, the model case for the team that really has been a most frustrating franchise since 1992 has been the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I think if Pittsburgh can't figure out a way to win, especially with the number of talented players they have now, and they don't decide to spend, that's right. what I think you end up having an argument where teams that were getting money from these high salary driven teams like the Dodgers are not reinvesting that salary back in, or that money into salary. And so that's where you have kind of this rubber meets the road. And the biggest problem was the expanded playoffs maybe suppresses that too, because now a team thinks they can get in with a 500 record. And so that's right. where you have a little bit of that issue going on.
And that's the argument, John, because with the NFL, I mean, salary cap, you know, an Indianapolis or a New Orleans can win a championship. And unless the Rays really hit it hard, you know, with their system really hitting, the A's, the Rays, the Pirates, you pointed out, the Reds, they really have no shot. So, but I guess, can you ever force these owners to sell? And that's never going to happen because you need better owners, basically.
John, did we lose him?
Yeah, you still. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the biggest thing is, like, if you all think all the way back to Moneyball, right? Moneyball started with the Oakland A's, and yet you make a good point. I mean, but they haven't won a series. They haven't won a playoff series. So I think baseball has proven over 162 that, you know, if you do things the right way, and yes, in pockets you can win if you're a small market team, no doubt. I've been pushing for this for years. We'd have to add two more teams for this to happen. I would love to see a first half, second half winner, and each playoffs have, you know, first half winner and a second half winner, and then you would have competitive balance beyond. Because 162 is a separator. It's a separator with teams that can make. See, I think fans go, look, the Dodgers can make 10 wrong decisions because they can make 10 bad contracts but survive it with their payroll. The Rays can't make two bad decisions. So it puts a lot of pressure on building your club and taking the window. I hate that word, the window of opportunity to win. Well, what the Braves have done is they've locked up their core players. They've given the fan base here a chance to win for long term. And if they fill the gaps in their deficiencies, they're just fine. So again, until there's dominance in one area and teams keep dominating the World Series, I don't know how many changes will happen. But I sure know I'd be a struggling fan in some of these small market cities that historically keep getting these great players but don't find a way to put other players together to get them to the chance to win.
Dude, you're the best. We love you, Smoltzy. Have a great year, man. We're looking forward to hearing you, seeing you, and getting you back on the show soon. Where are you starting out, by the way?
I have the Houston Astros and New York Mets on Saturday, so a lot of those storylines will go right along with what we talked about. And it's going to be interesting to see how some of these teams separate themselves. But you know what I love about this time of the year? I wish every city could keep the clippings of their paper in the first 2 weeks when everybody says, this is horrible, we're going to win the World Series. Like, the falling on and off the boat is the most hilarious 2 weeks in baseball history.
It's fun. There's no doubt. Man, thank you so much. Hey, take care. Be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
John Smoltz, Hall of Famer here on Dukes and Bell. We've got more Hall of Famers. Chipper Jones stopped by the steakhouse. We're going to let you hear what he had to say as we get ready for Braves opening day on the road. Opening day at home next week as we'll be at Murph's. We are at Twin Peaks today in Kennesaw. Or let's check that. Buckhead. Yeah. Kennesaw tomorrow. Buckhead today. It's Dukes and Bell. Now that's going on, and he threw out the Pirates, and I said to Mike, I said, he's literally telling you, if the Pirates don't do anything right at this point in their franchise's history where you've got all these young studs and you need to spend money to keep them, if they don't, what the hell would a salary cap do?
Well, that's just it. I mean, the NFL, and you say, how do we get to a salary cap? This goes back to, like, this was another, remember all the labor troubles we had in the NFL over the years? It finally got to it, and yes, we had to go through a couple of shortened seasons and strikes and lockouts. Eventually, we got there. But it's better for the fans because only in the NFL and the NBA, same thing. Oklahoma City can put a team in the finals.
That's right.
Cleveland can put a team in the finals. You know, you can't necessarily do that in baseball these days. Look, the Rays, the A's, they've got clowns for owners. John Smoltz, Tony Gwynn talked about it yesterday with the Pirates. You and I have both been to Pittsburgh. Best baseball stadium in America, you could argue. I mean, unbelievable, you know, vistas and the vibe and everything missing is the fans. We'll talk more about what Smoltz had to say because another Hall of Famer joined 92.9 The Game this week.
Chipper Jones on the steakhouse, and Stakey started the interview by asking, Chipper, do you get FOMO on opening day?
I get it, like, opening day. I get it first game of the playoffs. And I wonder what it would be like to do that and to be a part of that again. But then I realized that I got to wake up the next morning and do it all over again. And that does not appeal to me. I do miss the camaraderie with the fellas. I think I still have my foot in the door to be able to go into the clubhouse and hang out with the guys anytime I want, to be able to go in and help them in the cage anytime I want, to go to spring training and get to know the new guys that are coming in. Had some great sessions down in Florida with Jurickson Profar, who is a switch hitter and had so many questions, just acting like a sponge down there, and really had some good interactions with him and Marcell Ozuna, who's having another great spring, and I think he's going to have another great year. So, yeah, sitting around and talking the mental part of the game with Olson and Riley, I mean, all those things are stuff that I'm passionate about, and I still get chill bumps whenever those guys have kind of a aha light bulb moment, and that's kind of what we look for as instructors.
What would a guy in his car driving around right now, Chipper Jones with us on Sports Radio 92.9, give us something from your few days there of, like, watching Olson in the cage or seeing something from Riley or just a couple of things that would just be cool for somebody here as you like what you just said about Jerks and Profar on the switch hitting, or right. I think you once said Acuna, it comes off the bat sounding different than anything you've ever seen. Give us a couple of things for a guy driving around that would love to hear.
Or a girl.
Yeah, just to expound upon what Jerickson and I talked about, you know, he natural right-handed hitter, could fall out of bed and hit right-handed. But it was funny because he came up and he asked me, he goes, how did you hit the cutter? And I was like, that's a good question because I freaking couldn't hit the cutter to save my life. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't know how to hit the cutter. So we sat there and we talked about it. And I was talking about they were taking curveballs off the machine. And I was like, you see that ball coming into you and you want to pull it. But more times than not, you're going to come around it, hit a ground ball to first or second. So why don't we concentrate on staying inside the ball no matter where it is on the plate, and we're going to try and stay inside of it and drive it to left center. Well, it took him, you know, three or four pitches where he kind of came around it, but then he got the feel of staying inside of it. He laced about four or five bullets to left center field. And, you know, he's just got this huge bright smile, you know, that he possesses. Just super nice guy. He turns around to me and his eyes were so big and he was smiling so big that he had that aha light bulb moment where, okay, I got, you know, I get the feel of it now. And wow, you know, that. And so it was just one of those times that I was like, that's how it's done right there. And he goes out. He got three hits that day, or he got two hits. He got robbed of a homer in left center field on an off speed pitch. But it's those kind of instant results that kind of keep me coming back. You know, this club, you know, in years past has said World Series or bust and whatnot. How about we go healthy 162, you know, or bust? Last year was bust. It's time for us to stay healthy. Yeah. You know, Acuna looks great, swinging the bat, great. You've seen Strider come back with a couple of good starts here in spring training. He won't be long before he's back. And let's stay healthy. Be hot at the right time in October, and we'll let the chips fall where they may.
You talk about this lineup, and you're the best guy to ask because I covered you with Gary Sheffield, and you know we covered you with Fred McGriff and Ron Gann, Andrew Jones. I mean, every kind of great lineup. But I would imagine you say healthy. If this lineup is healthy for 162, is this as prolific as anything you've seen? In terms of guys, put nine guys out there?
Yeah, I think so. I think we had one lineup, I believe, maybe in 98, maybe Galarraga deep. We had seven guys, 20 homers plus. This one is probably deeper because it possesses a DH, and we had
a good point.
You know, Smoltz, Glavin, and Maddox sitting in the nine hole. So, you know, they're up 1-0 there. So yeah, I mean it is what it is. We had some really good lineups back in the day, but this one, when healthy, has a chance to do some special things. You have MVP candidates. You got 40-70 guys. You've got 40-50 homer guys. You've got guys that have contended for triple crowns in the middle. It can be special. When it's clicking on all cylinders, we gotta get them all in the lineup at the same time.
Where are you watching the game tomorrow, or you got daddy stuff?
Yeah, I've got baseball games. I will probably catch the end of it, but I will be keeping track of it on my phone as I answer about the suburbs of Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Real quick. You own part of that team that won it last night for Atlanta, the TGL team, or not?
I guess you could say that. A very small portion. Not as much as Mr. Blank, let's put it that way.
So,
I went down last week. Wow, what a facility that place is. Got a chance to meet the players. And
how sick is that place? How sick is that place?
It is. It's like an indoor facility for the Falcons, or you know, one of the top-notch college football teams. It's huge. The electronics are outstanding. It's a great thing. So happy for the guys too. They were, you know, behind most of the night and then came back in dramatic fashion. Billy Horschel with a big putt, former Gator. It was fun to watch.
I know we got to go. Walter Clayton Jr., is he your new guy after what the Gators did over the weekend, taking care of Danny Hurley?
Yeah, anything to get Danny Hurley off my TV is a good thing. Thank you to Walter Clayton Jr.
Yeah.
You know, on those 6'10" and 7-footers that Florida's got, man, they're deep. They're good. Hopefully they can keep it rolling.
That's the Chipper Jones, guys, out with the Steakhouse with the Steak and Sandra. And again, I always love when you hear Chipper fans always say, why can't Chipper be a hitting coach? He's got other things to do, like be a minority owner in TGL.
And a champion.
Yes.
Yeah, man, look, he contributes to this organization a lot more than I think people realize. He's around it a lot more than people realize. Right. And that's all you can ask. He done owe the Braves that. He's doing it because he loves being, you know, here and loves being a Brave, man. So I respect Chipper's grind as far as not wanting to get in that everyday thing, Mike. But, look, he's helped a lot of dudes on this team
right
and
on.
A lot of years in the past as well. We got more to get to, man. Fourth and One's on the way. NFL news you don't want to miss, including the top edge rusher in this draft. Now, look, I said if we coveted an edge rusher, let's go get him. But he's not going to work out at Penn State's Pro Day on Friday.
What?
What's going on with Abdul Carter? We'll fill you in next.